Thank you, David. Go ahead and open your Bibles up to 2 Kings chapter 6. And all children 4 years old to 6 years old that would like to go to children's church can meet Miss Bonnie in the back, and she will carry you over. Rest of you, if you will, go ahead and flip over to 2 Kings chapter 6. Over the next few weeks, I guess 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to preach a mini-series. And the theme of the mini-series is called Reconnecting with God. You know, I've been a Christian for 34 years. I was thinking about that. It doesn't seem possible because I can remember the night 34 years back that I trusted Christ as my Savior. That seems like a, you know, 34 years when you say it sounds like a long time, but when you live it, it doesn't sound very long. Some of you who have been living a long time know what I'm talking about. The years fly by. But in those 34 years, I have discovered that it's not very difficult to fall into a spiritual rut. It's not very difficult to find yourself in a spiritual dry spell. Times when your heart grows cold, or maybe you feel empty inside. When we feel disconnected from God. I think that there are times in all of our lives that we will go through periods like that. And the reason I say that is because as you read the scripture, David had times like that. And the Bible says David is a man after God's own heart. I don't think anybody here today is as spiritual as David was, yet at the same time, he had spiritual dry spells. I think that's part of human nature. David, in Psalm 71, verse 12, the verse I read earlier, he prayed, "Oh God, do not be so distant from me." There were times he felt he was here and God was out there somewhere, and he was yearning to be close to God again. When you're going through a dry spell, you don't lose your salvation. I think that's key to understand. Some people believe you lose your salvation. First of all, you don't save yourself, so I don't believe you can lose yourself. We are saved by grace through faith. That grace comes from God. Your salvation is secure in God. We are sealed, the scripture says. That's God's down payment on our lives. So I think we are sealed. Our salvation is sealed. You don't lose your salvation, but I think you lose your joy. You lose your confidence in God. You lose your peace in life. You lose the closeness that you once felt with God at times in your life. One of the things that cause you to go through a spiritual slump, I believe, is getting in a spiritual rut. Those times in your life when your life becomes very predictable, even your spiritual life. Routine replaces relationship. Now, there's nothing wrong with routine, but when routine replaces relationship, which can easily happen, then you're going to find yourself disconnected from God. When you go to church because it's time to go to church, when you pray the same prayers over and over again, when you go to the same service, you sing the same songs, and you become routine in your worship, then you're going to miss out in your relationship with God. I read a study a while back that said once you sing a song 30 or 40 times, you no longer think about the meaning of that song. You just sing. I find that to be true in my own life. That after you've sung a song, I mean, not just in church, on the radio, anywhere, you hear a song 30 or 40 times, you may mouth the words, but you don't think about the meaning quite as much. And I think that there's some truth that. A few weeks ago, we broke the service up. We preached a little, sang a little, preached a little. At the end of it, everybody was like, "Wow, that was pretty neat." I probably heard more comments about that than any service in a long time. You know, it wasn't anything that was said that was profound. It was just different. You know, change, a lot of people don't, we dislike change, but change is good if it keeps us from a spiritual rut. You know, what do you do when you feel like you're disconnected from God? I'm going to tell you what, this morning in pews all across America, sitting in churches, are Christians who are disconnected from God. That's reality. I'm not telling you there's huge numbers of that, I'm just telling you there's numbers of that. When you've lost your cutting edge, there's a story in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 6 that I want to read first. I want to read the first 7 verses here. It's a miraculous story. It's a bizarre story. I don't mind telling you, when I first read this in Scripture years ago, I was like, what is this about? I mean, it's just a bizarre story. But I believe when God does miracles, He wants to teach us spiritual truths. So let's look at 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, "Behold now, the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and each of us take from there a beam, and let us make a place for ourselves where we may live. So he said, go. Then one said, please be willing to go with your servants. And he answered, I shall go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. He said, take it up for yourself. So he put out his hand and took it. You know, when I first read that story, like I said, I thought, what a weird story. What is that about? I mean, this morning I want to address the issue, what do you do when you've lost your edge? What do you do when you don't feel God's presence like you once did? This story teaches us some truths on what to do to recover your lost spiritual edge. Number one, first thing, you admit that you lost it. That's one of the things that happens to us so often as Christians, is we feel like, you know, I know I'm not as close to God as I used to, but I don't want anybody else to know that. You know, I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And here's the thing. Once we start drifting apart from God, we'll notice it for a while. And then after a while, everybody else will notice it, and we won't, because we get used to living apart from God. Well, the first thing toward reconnecting with God is to admit that you lost it. Look what he did in verse 5. As one of them was cutting down a tree, suddenly his axe head fell into the water. And he said, what shall I do? For it was a borrowed axe. Without the axe head, he couldn't complete the job. The axe head represented the power to get the job done. And just relating it to our spiritual lives, listen, you can't live the spiritual life you want to live by yourself. There is a power that God gives us that helps us live the spiritual life. It is called His Holy Spirit. When we try to live on our own, we will find ourselves defeated and discouraged. When we allow the Spirit to live in us and give the Spirit control of our life, then we have power to live the Christian life. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's what comes out of us when the Holy Spirit has control. When we have control, when we're living in the natural, the other side comes out, which isn't good. The axe head, without the axe head, he couldn't complete the job because it represented the power. Now, here's what he could have done. He could have used it as an excuse for quitting altogether. He said, oh, man, my axe head fell in the water. I've lost the edge. I'm going to stop right here. You know, some Christians may say, well, I'm not as close to God as I once was. I'll let somebody else step up and serve. I've been close to God in the past, but I'm tired. I'll let other people do it. My edge is, my power's over here. My edge is here. I'll just sit on the sideline. That's one thing he could have done. The other thing he could have done is he could have pretended that he still had it. I'll keep going through the motions and maybe nobody will notice. I've lost my edge. And I don't want to admit that I've lost, that I'm not as close to God anymore. So I'm going to keep working, but I'm not going to have any power to be productive for God. You know, Christians can go through the motions of their spiritual life, coming to church, singing the hymns, but no power. It would be like this man trying to continue to chop with an axe that had no axe head on it. Pretending to be close to God may be the most tragic place to be in life. You remember Samson? When Samson, he lost all of his power, and he didn't even know it. What do you do when you've lost your spiritual edge? I want to give you two or three things this morning. When you've lost your spiritual edge, how do you know that you've lost your spiritual edge? How do you know that you're disconnected from God? Number one, when you start losing your love. When things don't touch your heart anymore the way they once touched your heart. When you can sit through service after service with no spark. To the church at Ephesus, do you remember what Jesus said to him? Hey, you've done all these things. You're doing all these good works, but I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. One of the ways you know you're disconnected with God is when you don't love the things of God and the people of God like you once did. All of a sudden, serving God becomes a duty rather than a delight. It's meant to be a delight to serve the Lord. The second thing that happens when you lose your spiritual edge is you lose faith. You stop taking risk. You do what's comfortable. You know, you lose your vision for what God has for you to do. You back off to a comfortable faith. You know, some of you may be there today. Life has a way of making you maybe feel beaten up by circumstances. Problems harass you. You lose the joy of your salvation. When we lose the joy of our salvation, what we tend to do is just draw in. We don't reach out. We lose faith. You know, let me just ask you this question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt like you were closer to God than you are now? Has there ever been a time you felt closer than you are now? If so, one simple question, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you willing to settle for less than God's best? Because you see, the first step towards reconnecting with God is simply to admit you're not where you once were, but you want to come back. To admit that you lost the enthusiasm, to admit you've lost the edge, and to reignite the fire. To gain your passion back for the Lord. That's step one, just simply to admit it. Step two, acknowledge where you lost it. Elisha asked him, where did you lose it? And it says the man showed him the exact spot. Do you know this morning, if you've lost your spiritual edge, do you know when you lost your closeness with God? Many reasons can create distance between ourselves and God. Sometimes it's not bad things. Distractions and busyness, a lot of those things are not bad. But they separate us from God. We get so busy with the things of God that we tend to forget God. Serving God can keep you from loving God. I want you to think about that. Serving God can keep you from loving God because it becomes all about what you do, not about who you do it for. Second thing is disobedience. You know, maybe it's distractions or business that separate us from God. Sometimes it's disobedience. It's not doing what you know that God wants you to do. Maybe you ignore or delay what God wants you to do. Well, let me tell you, when you ignore what God wants you to do or you delay, it's an automatic disconnect. When God says, I want you here, and you're over here, you're automatically going to be disconnected from Him. You know, maybe the Lord is wanting you to get involved in Bible study or Sunday school, or maybe the Lord wants you to forgive someone. You know, I think resentment is one of the major things that cause disconnect between you and God. The Bible says, how do you love God that you don't see when you don't love your neighbors that you do see? If you have resentment towards another human being, you are automatically disconnected from God. If you hold on to anger in your heart, you're going to go through a spiritual slump. So disobedience. Thirdly, just getting lazy in my spiritual life. You know, the Bible says discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Sometimes we get busy, we get disconnected, we stop worshiping, we stop fellowshipping with other Christians, and when we do that, we grow colder in our faith. We don't share our faith, and we grow colder. We don't serve, and we grow colder. You know, when I find myself in that situation, what I've got to do first is I've got to admit that I lost it, and then I've got to find out where I lost it. I've got to admit where I've lost it. I lost it right here. You know, sometimes we get to those situations in our life, we don't know exactly where we lost it. It just kind of came over a process of time. You know, maybe a relationship, maybe a hobby, maybe something caused a disconnect between you and God. If that's the case, then we just need to pray, God, I don't know exactly how I got to where I'm at, but I want you to help me find my way back. Will you bring me back to where I belong? And when we do that, step three, expect God to restore it. Expect God to give you back what you've lost. That's the faith step. I expect God to work and restore what's lost. Look again at verse 6. 2 Kings 6 here, 6 verse 6. So Elisha cut a stick, threw it into the water at that spot. The axe head floated to the top of the water. You know, that part of the story just blew me away. It confused me to death. What's that stick got to do with anything? Why did he throw a stick in the water? Let me tell you, here's what I've come to the conclusion of. That stick, you know what that stick means? Nothing. Doesn't mean a thing. It was just a stick. It had nothing to do with the story except it was a visual demonstration of faith. He could have thrown a rock in the water. It was just a demonstration of faith, expecting God to give back to the man what he had lost when he lost his edge. You know, this is kind of a bizarre miracle. God made iron float. Scientists will tell you iron don't float. I'd almost tell you iron doesn't float, except for it says here it floats. So if the Bible says it floated, it floated. You know, don't you think God, if he created all the iron in the universe, could make a little bit of it float if he wanted to? Because you see, God writes the laws. You've heard of the law of gravity. Well, God writes the laws of gravity. I don't believe the sun would stop either, except for the fact the Bible said the sun stopped. If God can make the sun stop, he can make a pounds of iron float to the top of the water. I'm convinced of that, if he wants to. The point of this story is that God specializes in doing the impossible. Jeremiah 15:19 in the New Living Translation says, "The Lord says, if you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me." If you return to me, I will restore you. You know, what a promise. If you're a believer who's lost your spiritual edge, if you're willing to return to him, he will restore you. If you've been going through the motions spiritually, but you feel like that's empty inside your heart and there's more to it, God will restore you. You weren't made to live powerless. That axe head was simply the power to do the job. You know, you have been given a power to live for Christ, the Holy Spirit. But you can quench the Holy Spirit when you're disconnected from God. But then you can go back and seek for God to restore you. Here's another thing that confused me about your story. Did you notice the man says it wasn't so much that his axe fell in the water that bothered him? It was a borrowed axe that fell in the water that bothered him. What difference does it make whether it was a borrowed axe or not? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Everything in life is borrowed. You own nothing that you can't lose by 2 o'clock this afternoon, because it all belongs to God. You brought nothing into this world and you'll take nothing out, but God gives you those 60, 70, 80, 90. Hey, maybe some of you will live to 100 borrowed years. God loans you those years to use for him. And they're meant to live with God's Spirit and power in control of your life. You can break out of a spiritual slump when you come running back to God with all your might, because he desires to restore you. Admit you lost it, admit where you lost it, and expect God to give it back to you. And the last thing, fourth and final thing, reach out and receive it. Notice in this story, "Now get it," Elisha told him, and the man reached in and grabbed it. God did the miracle. He made the iron float. Couldn't God have just as easily put that thing on the that piece of wood so that he could go back to chopping again? Why did he expect the man to reach in and grab it? He could have done the miracle another way, but he didn't. He brought it to the top of the water, said, "Now reach in and grab it." What's the point? What's the meaning of that? You have to do your part in coming back to God. You have to do your part. Look at Revelation chapter 2 again. If we go back to the church at Ephesus, the love that they had was gone. So the Lord spoke to them and said, "Remember how far you've fallen. Return, repent, and do what you did at first." If you feel disconnected from God, do these three things. Remember what it was like when you were close to God. Remember what it was like when you had passion for him. Remember what it was like to be connected and be following, seeking his will. Remember that. And now that you're not there, repent. Be sorry that you that you've fallen off the track. Turn around. Repentance is not just being sorry. It's turning around and going a different direction. Asking forgiveness. Remember, repent, and return. Do the things you once did. Once God works in your heart and life, get busy again. Use the joy. Use the power of the Holy Spirit in your life every day to live for Him. You know, and I'm talking on a spiritual means, but this morning, this works in any relationship. Marriage is included. Because love is always a choice. You restore lost love in a marriage exactly the same way we're talking about here. The same way you bring your love back for Jesus. Because I want to tell you, this morning, you're as close to God as you choose to be. That's something I say over and over again. You're as close to God as you choose to be. If God is distant from you, it's not God who moved. You chose to move, pull away. Maybe not purposefully, but for whatever reason. Years ago, right after I became a Christian, I really began to like this guy named Keith Green. Keith Green was a singer, but he was more of a preacher who preached to music. And he sang a song, and he wrote a song called "My Eyes Are," or it goes like this: "My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. But what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood." You know, that was the song of a man feeling disconnected from God. Please wash me anew. Do you need to reconnect with God this morning? If you have never connected in the first place, it starts there. Most of you have probably accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but even Christians can find themselves disconnected from God. And if I ask you to think about times in your life, you would probably come up with more than one where you felt a little disconnected from God. This morning, would you be willing to pray, "Lord, I want to reconnect with you again. I don't want routine to replace our relationship. Pull me out of this spiritual slump. Restore my cutting edge, my spiritual vitality. Let your spirit empower my life. Warm up my heart. Revitalize my faith. From this moment forward, I want you first in my life." If you're here this morning, that's the prayer of your heart. I encourage you to pray that prayer to the Lord. Offer Him your best. Reconnect. I don't know what might have separated you, but don't let it. You're as close to God as you want to be. How close do you want to be this morning? What is it that God desires from you? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we might hear your words, and we might take them in, and then, Lord, that we might act on them. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to do. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your spirit. And Lord, this morning I pray that if your spirit is quenched in any Christian's life here today, that they might reconnect. They might feel the joy and the passion of salvation from maybe one like they once did. Lord, as we listen to your voice, I pray that we might hear your spirit speak to us. In Jesus' name.